But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app. It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio, Sal Capaccio
on WGR.
Bulldog's all freaked out because I asked him a Super Bowl trivia question. Sal, I should have waited for Sal to come on. Sal loves a Super Bowl trivia question. He loves a trivia question.
I do.
Did you hear it by chance?
It's getting older, though, man. I'm getting old. There's a lot of Super Bowls. It's getting tougher these days.
It's already been nominated for a Marconi, the segment, even though it's already just today's show. It's already been put up for awards.
This is the one time I got something wrong, Sal. So they're going to make a big, big deal out of it.
I'm like an offensive lineman.
You don't hear my name. It's a good thing.
Do you know the answer? I will tell you guys. I've not been listening. Sorry. But
jerk.
So if you ask me, like, I have no clue on what you're going to ask.
Well, I will ask you, but we got to shorten it because everybody's just heard this. There are 9 potential Super Bowl rematches this year.
Oh, geez.
Hang on, maybe I'll get it wrong again.
Yeah, maybe you've forgotten already. You took a nap during the break, and you started counting them off.
I will go real quickly to the NFL standings, and I would say, so Buffalo, Washington, obviously I'll start right there. That would be one. I would say one would be the Steelers. Let's see. Steelers-Rams, for sure. Steelers-Vikings, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Steelers-Packers would be another one. Mm-hmm. Okay, nothing with Detroit. Let's see. Denver-Broncos, Washington, for sure.
5.
Denver-Minnesota, maybe not. No. Can't do that because neither one of them won a Super Bowl. Okay, you got 5 there. All right, Kansas City against the Minnesota Vikings.
Yep.
Okay. Let's see. Kansas City, Green Bay, obviously, mm-hmm. early first Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
first, right there. What, 6-7 right there,
7.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Baltimore got to be in here, right? Baltimore.
No.
Baltimore. Who would they? No. Wait. Who did the Ravens? Oh, Baltimore.
No. Nope.
Oh, okay. I was going to say Tampa. That was all in the same area, but they didn't play.
2 more Chiefs.
Okay. Chiefs Eagles a couple years ago.
Yep.
And what did I say? Oh, Chiefs Bucks.
That's it.
I wanted you to say Chiefs Rams so damn bad there. I can't even believe how badly I wanted you to make the same stupid mistake I did. I'm sorry, Sal.
Man,
we're friends. I love you like a brother, but I wanted you to step it in.
In your defense, there was that Chiefs Rams game.
That was incredible.
In Mexico. 54-51 or something. That was not a Super Bowl, but it was kind of famous. Okay, is it too early to be talking about the Super Bowl here, Sal? It's a month from tomorrow, I think. I started with this today, how I know I'd sort of be sensitive as a listener to hearing about potential games, the Ravens, the Chiefs, the Super Bowl, all of that with Denver here. And I'm also sensitive to that as a host, right? Because I don't want to sound like I'm ignoring this game or anything like that. But honestly, it's kind of all I'm thinking about.
Yeah, the
bigger picture, the run.
Okay, so yeah, I've thought about this a lot, which is like, I asked Matt Bove the same question on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. I think I will say I did listen to the first like 10, 15 minutes of you guys. And I think you touched on this because I caught Bulldog saying something in the same regard, which is you got to kind of worry about your immediate threat, something like that, which is mm-hmm. true. And I agree, which is if you want the best chance to get Kansas City out, I think you have to root for the
Ravens.
Baltimore Ravens to win.
Mm-hmm.
So then the Chargers could possibly knock them off. Okay, I get that. However, I think more immediate though, you don't want to play Baltimore, even though the Steelers would probably go to Kansas City and just get demolished.
Yep.
But at least if it gets you through Baltimore and you don't have to play them, it is survive in advance, right? That's what it's all about. And to be honest with you, one thing that I thought about is, do I give the Bills a better chance to win at Kansas City than home against Baltimore? I might. I think that's close, actually.
It is close. It's a really interesting debate that we would have enjoyed having every single day for the last 4 months. But today, I don't know. I don't. Right. I like just. It just presumes a Denver win here or a Bills win over Denver. And I respect this team, the Broncos. I know it's a rookie quarterback. I know we all said Cincinnati was more dangerous. You even thought Bulldog Miami was. Mm-hmm. But, man, I like the numbers on Denver a lot. With their defense and how efficient and athletic Knicks is, but it could just be now I'm trying too hard. I don't know. Like I'd want to be some modicum of this, no matter who the Bills played. But I like Denver.
Yeah, listen. Every team that gets to this point, you know, is here for a reason. You could have a lesser team, of course, and while they won a bad division or something like that, but generally the wild card teams are going to be teams that got in because they won enough games and beat the right teams and, you know, tiebreaker scenarios and things like that. And in this case, you have two 10-7 teams that got into the wild card between Pittsburgh and Denver. That's actually pretty good, you know, to have that. You look in the NFC, two 10-7 teams won their division, but the wild card was a 12-win team and an 11-win team.
And 14.
I respect Denver. I respect Denver for what they've done this year, no doubt about it. And I think from where they were to where they came at the end of the year, they've made a lot of strides, especially with their rookie quarterback. I think they do a lot of things that could give the Bills problems. I've heard people say this is the toughest, you know, wild card matchup that the Bills have had over the last several years. I don't know if I agree with that because I think they're all kind of similar. I mean, Bill Belichick in the New England Patriots, yep. You know, with what they did with a rookie quarterback, even though they came here and the Bills crushed them, they beat the Bills that year just a few weeks before that.
Yep.
Right? I mean, I know it was in the wind and all that. And then the Miami Dolphins, even without Tua, come to Buffalo and they, you know, they brought some talent here. And the Bills, of course, it was all, after all the DeMar Hamlin situation and all of that. But I know it was Skylar Thompson, but Miami was not a bad football team that came to Buffalo. And they took the Bills to the brink also that year, if you remember, right at the end of the season in the snow. And then last year, it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that's the Pittsburgh Steelers. I know they didn't have Watt, but it's still Pittsburgh Steelers and Mike Tomlin, and they're going to muck it up and play. And I just think that this team is very similar to a lot of those teams.
Yeah, I ranked them, and I don't remember the order. I know Pittsburgh, I think I felt was the easiest. I think I had New England. Mike mentioned that was only like a 4-point spread. Like, I know in hindsight, you know, the Bills absolutely blasted them out of the gym in that game. But I think that meeting, that matchup, after the Patriots, like you just referenced, had beaten them, I think that's the only one I would put ahead of this Denver team. I think, as far as like tough game goes, maybe Indianapolis that first year, but I think really that New England team, I was worried about them coming in.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think because it's the mystique. And it's Belichick. And look, he did a really good job of, and they did a good job with Mac Jones his rookie year in a lot of similar ways that, you know, Sean Payton has done here with Bo Nix. And, you know, there were that throw that he made that is, you know, iconic, the interception, Micah Hyde, that was a great throw. I mean, Micah just made an amazing play. But if he doesn't make the play, that's an incredible throw. And if you remember early that game, that drive, he uses his legs, he gets a first down. They had a nice play. They had a play that kind of was an overthrow, could have been a longer play. The point I'm making is, like, you know, you don't get here by luck, you don't get here by accident, and I think that this Denver Broncos team is good. I don't think that they're as good as the Buffalo Bills. Look, I think at the end of the day, after thinking a lot about this today and talking through it on the podcast, I think the path to an upset for the Broncos would have to include them playing one of their top games. Like, they have to have a really good day. They have to play some of their best football. I don't think the Bills have to play their best football to win the game. Now, if they don't play their best football, it's certainly going to come into question. Mm-hmm. But I think that's the difference between the two. I think the Broncos kind of have to play their best game and get a little couple breaks along the way to be able to pull this upset.
Denver, in games decided by 7 points or fewer, 1-6. What does that do for you? We've gone round and round.
So keep it close.
The
Bills should want to keep it close.
There's been some stuff with late game stuff with them, I think, as well, and Sean Payton and decisions. No doubt about that. I heard a stat today. Dave Naylor, from our buddy up in Toronto, he covers the Bills up in Toronto and in Canada. He actually had it today. He said to me, what he had was Broncos 6-1 against non-playoff teams, 1-8 against playoff teams. And the one was last week when the Chiefs were resting everybody.
Right. How do you handle the McDermott defenses? Because it's all encompassing. There's different personnel, even different coordinators and different play callers if you want. His track record against rookie quarterbacks. I think, you know, there's a good chunk, you know, sizable number of games. One problem I have with just sort of throwing a blanket over it and just, you know, feeling it's all, everyone is created equal is that, you know, you can play guys in week one, week three. Now we're talking about the playoffs. You know, like Bo Nix is not, it's very different than playing Bo Nix week two, you know, is all I'm saying. Here, you know, week 19 ostensibly here is what we've got. And so he's a rookie, but, you know, he's gone through a whole season here.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm just looking back real quick, and I'll shoot Dave a text to get the exact number, but they did beat the Buccaneers, who were a playoff team. Those were the only two wins, Buccaneers and the Kansas City Chiefs.
The Bills also only had two wins against playoff teams.
They happen to be against the two number one seeds, though, right? Is that it, really? The Bills only had two?
I have them at 2-3. They lost to Baltimore, okay. Houston, and the Rams.
Yeah. Okay, good call right there. Listen, yeah, I think, you know, the question I think you said was Bo Nix, rookie quarterback.
Rookie quarterback, right? Thing, yeah.
And Sean McDermott. And,
yeah.
Like, I think there was a stat. I don't know the exact stat off top of my head right here, guys, but there was a stat about, you know, the win-loss of Sean McDermott and, you know, facing a rookie quarterback. And it's very tilted in McDermott's favor. And, you know, normally he has a high winning percentage anyway. He's been good against non-rookie quarterbacks. But against rookie quarterbacks, it's been very, very challenging for Sean McDermott. It's also the point of it is a rookie quarterback in the NFL playoffs. It's very tough to win. Do you guys know the last time a rookie quarterback started an NFL playoff game and won?
On the road, Russell Wilson.
2012, and he was playing another rookie, which was RG3.
Griffin, yeah.
Right? So, yeah, very good. So it's been a long time, right? I mean, it's been, you know, 12 years since that happened, 13 years, whatever, playoffs. 12 years, I think, in a season. So it is tough. It's going to be a very, very tough environment here. I think about when Bill Belichick did a segment on, maybe it was Inside the NFL. He's on so many darn platforms, you know, these days, right? I think it might have been an Inside the NFL. And he did that whole Sean McDermott's going to spin the wheel on defense.
Yep.
I loved it, right? It really just showed. And I think this is a game where McDermott will spin the wheel, which is, and Bobby Babich, of course, he was calling the plays. I think they're going to spin the wheel on Bo Nix and just say, you just don't know. He is not going to know what he's getting from a down-to-down basis. And they're going to show him something and then switch to something else after the snap. And I just think that feels like one of those games where this is what they're going to do.
Sal Capaccio on the Westher hotline. What's new with injuries? It doesn't seem like much.
Well, not much as far as volume, but I think still very, very concerning. Today, Brandon Codrington did not practice. The outstanding return man for the Bills, he's dealing with a hamstring injury. Sean McDermott wasn't kind of committed either way on what he thought about this weekend. He was very close to the vest today on anything he revealed, which is understandable during a playoff week. But here we are on a Wednesday. It was a walkthrough. He did not practice. So we'll see where that goes on Thursday. Otherwise, Jamarcus Ingram was excused from practice today for a personal matter. Otherwise, everybody else is healthy. So I would say the Bills are very healthy going into this game. But I do think that that's a notable and important absence if Brandon Codrington can't play.
Gotta stuff this in because otherwise more and more people will point out to us that Denver and Green Bay is also deserves to be on the rematch list.
Oh okay, yes, that's right. You. Yes.
So I thought it was 9, but I guess maybe it's 10.
That was the second of Elway's back-to-back wins, right? He beat Atlanta. And
no, it was first.
It was first? Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, that was Denver finally winning.
Okay.
When they beat Green Bay.
Sure.
As a huge underdog.
Helicoptered at the goal line. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Right. Yep.
Okay, where were we?
Injuries.
Oh, right. Oh, at punt returner. I know you yep. mentioned on Monday, you know, Micah Hyde, he's there. If you need someone just to catch the ball, short of that, like, where do you suppose we'll end up here? Because I noticed, I think, when we talked about this on Monday, there's not even a second person listed on the depth chart at punt return. So I wonder what they'll do.
Yes. By the way, this is so amazing. It's like real time. So our buddy Dave is listening. Dave Naylor covers the team. He texted me to give me the stat. I want to put this in there because thank you, Dave, for correcting me and letting me know. The Denver Broncos are 1-6 against playoff teams, not including that last game against the Kansas City Chiefs. So that's where Tampa comes in. They're 8-1 against non-playoff teams. So there you go. Thank you very much, Dave Naylor. Good job. All right. So, yeah, I still think it's possible. I don't think it's likely that we see Micah Hyde in that role. He still hasn't played all year, right? Are you going to elevate Micah Hyde and say, just go catch punts? You could. I mean, he could just be working on that all week. I think the more likely scenario for me is that Khalil Shakir would return punts. Now, it's not ideal to have Khalil Shakir back there returning punts as your as a primary receiver. But look, I mean, the Broncos do it with Marvin Mims. He catches balls for them and does a lot of stuff, and he's a great punt returner. He is good at it, Khalil Shakir. He's done it before. And I think there's just a trust factor here that has to go into this. Not that you wouldn't trust Micah Hyde, but he hasn't played. And, you know, you'd be putting him out there in a situation where, hey, by the way, just go out there and do it in the playoff game. I think you'd probably, you know, Khalil Shakir's been, I'm sure, working it in practice in some capacity throughout the year as a backup in whatever, you know, way that is. Mm-hmm. I mean, KJ Hamler is still an option. He's been on the team all year. We know he has punt return experience. It's against his former team. So I think that can't be ruled out to me. And we're not going to get anything from McDermott today. He was kind of asked, you know, how big is that? What do you do? And he didn't give us an answer, and he's not going to tell us who's going to play there unless, you know, until the moment comes. If he rules him out on Friday with me on the radio, I'll ask him. But until then, we're not going to know what the plan would be, and because I wouldn't expect anything to be revealed. But to me, that's how it would go. It would be Shakir, then Hamler, and then maybe Hyde, I guess, because I couldn't think. Maybe Ty Johnson could be back there. Kick returns, we know it would just be Ty Johnson and Ray Davis make the most sense.
Amari Cooper's back. All good. Wheels up.
He's back. He was back at practice today. Full participant. Was excused last week from the game for a personal family matter, but he was back today.
I just looked at some prop bets this morning, and quick instinct took Keon Coleman over 2.5 catches. No science behind it, just a vibe. Mm. What do you think of Coleman in this game? So I can cash out if you hate it.
No, I mean, I don't think that's too high of a number, obviously, 2.5. I mean, I could see that, especially if the Broncos decide they want to put Pat Surtain on Amari Cooper on third downs. Maybe all the time. I don't know what the Broncos' plan is for Pat Surtain because the Bills don't have that true number one guy that they would say go match up and travel with him. But I do think in certain situations they could do that. And again, I think third down comes in. Maybe it's Keon Coleman, though. And if that happens, then, you know, you might be a little more challenged in that bet, Mike, to be quite honest with you. But this is a game where, you know, truly I think that the Bills have to adhere to their mantra of everybody eats, because if you're going to have wherever Patrick Surtain is, I think that you note it, you note that, and you figure out where he's not, and you throw the ball there. It's also a game that the Bills can, by all metrics, probably take advantage of their second level, the linebackers in coverage. And I think the Bills will really try to control the middle of the field and really try to control the second level. That could be very well be running backs, because the Broncos statistically just have not been great at covering running backs out of the backfield this year. It could also be tight ends. So that's not great for your bet, Mike, but I just think that they're going to have to spread the ball around here.
Very good. We got through, even though we had some back and forth with the trivia. Never start with trivia, Bulldog. I know better.
I asked you. I like it.
Yeah, I'm glad you like it. I know you do. Very good. Thank you, Sal. We'll talk again tomorrow.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right. It's our man, Sal Capaccio, on the Wester Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet, Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
I'm deep in a Pro Football Network stat analysis here of the matchup. Bills and Broncos.
Bills and Broncos?
Yeah.
Yeah. What can you tell us about
not
it?
Not a lot. Mm-hmm. No, not a lot. I'm still processing.
Helpful.
Here's one that says, Bo Nix is a very different quarterback when trailing.
They all are.
They all are, kind of, right? I mean, get the guy a lead, maybe look out. So I know every one of these games, like every hockey game, is score the first goal, even though your odds of winning a hockey game are the same if you score the second goal and not the first goal.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an element to that here with Broncos Bills. Scare them off.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the game that I'm sort of seeing in my head is not, you know, the Bills like steamrolling this team or anything, but it's 14-3 pretty quick and just sort of, you know, maybe it gets a little tighter than you'd like in the third quarter at some point, but you're just sort of like arm's length all day, you know, just kind of, okay, I'm better than you. I got it. And I feel like that's so, I don't know, what's that to end up saying? I mean, you know, 28-19, like, is my game. I think that's
exactly that's the spread and the total
I'm looking at. All right. See, look at me.
9-47, 28-19. By EPA per dropback, Knicks, when the Broncos are ahead, 13th in the league, when trailing, 29th. Is that everybody? You know, maybe to varying degrees, it mostly is. 803-0550 for your calls. Bills, Broncos, the playoff picture. How do you see it? Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.